Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Political Talk with Michael and Mary Beth. Welcome, everybody, another episode of Christian Political Talk. When Mike was cutting in and out, what's going on there with that? I don't know.
Well,
but another kind of not as cold as last weekend's Sunday night.
Oh,
but
goodness.
Pretty cool. We're coming on a little bit early tonight. We got some things to take care of later. So coming on a little bit early, and hope everybody's week has been great so far. You got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Yes, I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's devotional is, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. In Jesus' day, Jewish people grew weary under the heavy load of expectations imposed on them by the Pharisees. In today's culture, we struggle with overbooked schedules, problems that threaten our peace, and the stress of everyday living Jesus warned that we would have. But he invites us to a different way of living. In an agricultural society, everyone understood a yoke went across the necks of two farm animals and connected them to the plow where they were to pull. A yoke didn't eliminate the burden, but it made the weight limit appropriate for the animal's abilities. In the same way, all Christian followers will carry burdens, but we are called to take a load that is too heavy for us. Jesus invites us to trust him with our troubles, and he promises rest for our souls when we do. The prayer tonight is, "Father, help me to be faithful to fulfill the tasks you've given me. Please give me the strength to do my part. I will trust you to do what I cannot."
Amen. So tonight we're going to go into week three of our Better series, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about better choices later on in the show. And every choice we make in life has consequences, right?
Yes.
We must use wisdom that is given us by God to choose wisely. That all begins with the fear of God, and that fear is a reverence and respect for a holy God. But that fear can mature into a deep abiding trust. Ultimately, is our trust in God that helps us to make better choices, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about later on in the show. And, boy, we've got some things covered on the news, don't we?
Oh, absolutely.
You ready to roll into that?
Mm-hmm.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news. There's definitely been some things happening in politics this week, right?
Oh, yeah.
After, you know, here in New Hampshire voted Trump, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and Nikki Haley's had some things to say about that. And, you know, she's banking on coming to South Carolina and kind of cleaning up when South Carolina does the primaries. But I'm not so sure that's going to happen after hearing a lot of people talk.
Yep. She says that we're her sweet South Carolina. I don't think she's going to be thinking that here shortly, because she's been running an interesting campaign. And I mean, initially I was really great. I mean, I was really hoping she was going to do kind of what she did in the first, mm-hmm. you know, debate and everything. And, you know, I think that she is a strong voice, but now that we're kind of in the throng of things, don't think she's ready.
Yeah, there's definitely been a mixed bag of conversations on, you know, some of her stances and some of the things that she said, and some of the things that she said is kind of coming back to haunt her a little bit. And you know, some people are calling her out on it. And so, you know, only time will tell what's going to happen with that. And we're going to have to keep closely monitoring those situations, right?
Yeah, I definitely don't think that she should have come out swinging at Donald Trump. That's probably not going to do her career any favors.
No, because, you know, most folks are seeing how things were, you know, when Trump left office and how abruptly things changed and
quickly.
Yeah, abrupt and quickly. can't put in enough terms for that, right?
Right.
You know, one of the things that's going on right now is a major news story that's hidden right now, though, that has to do with Biden. Critics are lashing out right now. There was an attack in Jordan that killed 3 U.S. service members.
Wow.
And they're, you know, they're pushing for Biden to, you know, hit Iran now. Iranian proxies have launched over 100 attacks on U.S. troops since October. And on January 28th, today, 3 U.S. service members were killed and 25 injured from a one-way attack, UAS, that impacted a base in northeastern Jordan near the Syrian border. As a matter of respect for the families and in accordance with DOD policy, the identities of the service members will be withheld until 24 hours after the next kin have been notified. Updates will be provided as they come available. But, you know, Biden was briefed on the matter by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Principal Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer, according to the White House, with Biden blaming radical Iran-backed militant groups for the attack.
Well, And you know, just to tie in something with Iran, apparently the U.S. gave Iran a heads up when they were about to be attacked by somebody else, and I was just like, why would we do that?
Yeah.
I mean, unless that was going to impact something, you know, that we had going on, why would you do that?
Yeah, it is, wow. That's one of those things we're going to have to stand by and keep watching that and what's going on. Another thing, you know, there's been another jolt, scathing wake-up call amid allegations of betraying public trust, right?
Oh, yeah.
House Republicans unveiled articles of impeachment against DHS Secretary Mayorkas. And they're basically saying the DHS claims accusations from Republicans are baseless and hypocritical.
Well,
what would you say to that?
I would say you better watch your back there, Mayorkas, because right now, you know, as Texas has been the state in the past that has kind of been one that fights for their border, you know, when we purchased Texas from Mexico and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And people were like, nah, not really. And they decided that they were going to come for Texas. You don't mess with Texas, or so the state motto says, with the Texas National Guard being there trying to protect the border. And then you've got Border Patrol that's, you know, also supposed to be doing that. But, you know, according to the conversation you and I were having this morning, that's an interesting situation there right now, because they're not going to do anything against the folks that are maintaining the border.
Well, some interesting choice of words here. The articles introduced by Republican Mark Green, a Republican from Tennessee, accused Mayorkas of willful and systematic refusal to comply with the law and breach of public trust.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and throughout his tenure as Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas has repeatedly violated laws enacted by Congress regarding immigration and border securities, in large part because of his unlawful conduct. Millions of aliens have crossed illegally into the United States on an annual basis, with many unlawfully remaining in the United States, and his refusal to obey the law is not only an offense against the separation of powers in the Constitution of the United States, it also threatens our national security. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, 100%.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's even the people that have come here from other countries, but they've done it the right way, they're not even on board for all of these illegals that have come into the country and remain illegal.
Well, you know, and like we've said, I don't know how many times before, we're all about immigration. 100%, everybody immigrated here.
Yep.
But there's a legal way and a right way to do it.
I mean, I don't think that I'd want to bust up in Canada or anything like that and be like, ha, 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 I'm a Canadian.
And here's not the thing. Really. Canada would ship you back faster than you could blink your eyes, for I'm real. Sure you. And it's just, you know, it's sad. It's something that we need to remain in prayerful thought about. And, you know, the decisions that are made and all of the decisions really that have been being made that are gratefully impacting everything that's going on around us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're kind of getting back into that crunch time. I mean, between now and November is when we really, really, really urge everybody to seek out multiple sources of news. Don't depend on one type of news, one news outlet. I mean, you know, there are definitely very liberal news media markets, which is a majority of the markets, and they're all pointing one way, but there's plenty of sources pointing back the other way. And you know, if you start finding common things and commonality between multiple stories, that's usually where, you know, part of the truth starts lying. At least that's what I've learned, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's some of the other things that that you've heard this week that you wanted to bring up?
Well, actually, there was something that I saw on LinkedIn mm-hmm. that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't expecting to see, which is within the next several months,
mm-hmm.
Companies are looking to start dropping all requirements for having a bachelor's degree for jobs.
Oh, wow.
And to make it easier to get and retain talent. And I'm like, well, I wish somebody would have done this back when I was in school, because I was told that I had to get a college education to be on par with everybody that was out there and to be competitive. Not only that, but I got an advanced degree because that was supposed to put me in an upper echelon. And I can certainly say that my career that I built for myself, slugging it out and doing what I needed to do to make a career, my degrees didn't really help that at all, I don't think.
And I think we covered that a little while back. You remember we had a story that they were saying that more companies were starting to lean towards people with you know, job history, you know, in doing those roles versus people who had more schooling on it.
And I think what's going to be happening with this new scenario is that they simply want, and by they, I mean employers, simply want people to be able to come in that are teachable, that can learn and grow and stay with a company. But by doing so, you're also upskilling your workforce. And while they might be with you for a while, the same problem's going to exist.
Oh, yeah.
So whether or not you have that bachelor's degree under your belt or not, you know, it looks like the times are rolling back to a time where you don't really need a college degree.
Yep, it seems that way. And I've got a funny little story for you, or a funny-ish type story.
Okay.
You know that one term that I really dislike using, the word woke, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, there's been a little bit of woke backlash.
Okay? Oh, goodness. Okay.
And let's call it Snopes. Okay, you know who Snopes is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Snopes is a pretty left-leaning fact-check site. They actually had to reverse one of their rulings this weekend, and it concerned President Biden during his Wisconsin trip, where everybody saw him wearing a hard hat backwards.
Oh, like that?
You know, shocking. With the adjustment screw facing, you know, on his forehead.
Well, that's probably the best way for him.
And, maybe well,
holding his brain in.
There was definitely, you know, the photo. They said the photo is genuine, and it does look at first glance like Biden was wearing that hat backwards. But after comparing it to other photos and videos of the same event, we were forced to reach the opposite conclusion that Biden's head was, you know, facing forward, Bill to the front, and not backwards, Snopes claims. Even though you can, you see that picture right there.
That is the tightening.
That is clearly the tightening screw, right?
Yes.
And social media users were blasted, and you know, the determination, however, as hard hats universally have the tightening strap on the back. Okay. And after weathering the storm on social media, Snopes offered an update reversing the fact check. The prevailing counterargument is that suspension of the hard hat has been purposely configured by its owner so that the bill and tightening knob were worn to the back, as to the case of the hat Biden wore. To wear the hat with the bill facing forward is practically speaking to wear it backwards. Therefore, it's argued it's actually true that the photo op discussed was Biden wearing the hat backwards. Yeah, they're still arguing the point, but, you know, they're like, yeah, let's just see if we can skirt around.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the picture shows all these people cracking up.
Yep.
And that's probably why.
Yeah, and they're probably...
They're like, what a idiot.
Yeah. So, in, you know, in other words, yes, you can put the bill of the hat backwards where the tightening strap and the bill are on the back. But this one is clearly the tightening strap was on his forehead. So, therefore, backwards. Whether or not the bill was facing that way or, you know, it's still backwards.
So yeah.
Had to be very uncomfortable to wear that way. But as we can all see it, but it's just everybody telling us, don't look at what you see. Believe what I say.
Yeah.
That's kind of been the way it's been. Another story has popped up, one that we've kind of covered in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the Satanic Temple is planning more after school clubs in response to Good News Clubs. Can awesome. You believe this?
Yes, I can, actually.
You know, this is upsetting parents as it plans to open two new after school clubs this year, targeting schools where the Good News Clubs were already established. So in Memphis, Tennessee, controversy arose following the announcement by TST of its intention to start an after-school club for children aged from kindergarten through fifth grade at a local school. A minister at the Satanic Ministry and campaign director for the after-school Satan Club emphasized that the club's activities are benign. The name alone is in... You know, saying that it's not benign. You know, why not call it the Sunshine Club? I mean, that's benign. But when you sit here and say, this is the after-school Satan Club, yeah.
I love the lady's comment, though.
Yeah, we're not sacrificing children or killing baby goats, she said.
At least not that they're going to tell you.
Yeah, at least not to that. But, you know, the club intends to teach children about nature and science, portraying Satan as a symbol of kindness and sharing. That's a form of witchcraft, people. What does the Bible say? The Bible explicitly teaches against dabbling in this. I mean, you know.
I love this, too. I remind the media that a good part of our population is vegetarian or vegan, and they usually wouldn't hurt a fly. Usually?
Well, not eating meat and being a Satanist are...
Usually.
Pretty two well opposite things. One will definitely earn you a road trip to the pits of Hades. And the other one, well, you just won't have much fat on your bones, you know? Yeah, one of these things is not like the other, folks.
And this lady has a first grader.
And, you know, I implore people if they're hearing things like this going on in their areas. I mean, we've, as Christians, we have got to stand up against this. They're trying to come in and say, well, if a Good News Club can be here, then we can be here. But, you know, here's the thing. These people are wanting to teach our children about Satan. Satan is not good. Satan is not light. Satan is not this person that you want to sit down and have a ham sandwich with and be friends.
Sharing is caring. No, I don't think so.
No. And, you know, this is something, another thing in this country that we've got to remain prayerful about. And remember, I mean, in other parts of the world, Christians are being condemned everywhere. And here in this country, we have, you know, the enemy sitting here knocking at the back door saying, hey, let us take care of your kids while you're at work.
That'd be a big, huge no for me.
So that is something to watch out for. And I mean, the way things are going and the way a lot of people are leaning more and more and more, you know, towards moving away from Christianity and moving away from Christ. I mean, there's also been a large rise in people moving towards Christ. So we see that as a big, you know, point of encouragement. But hearing things like this, it just lets us know that the enemy is real. The enemy is there.
I just want to bring up that if you look at the, I guess that's a logo there.
Yeah.
The drawing has like a graduation cap on, horns, got like the curly mustache, like you would hear the evil people going, ma.
Yeah.
And got two crazy eyes.
Yeah. And it is not something that look, you know,
It doesn't look friendly.
It's meant to be like this cartoon thing that's going to draw kids in that have a tendency to be towards more of the liking the weirder stuff, I guess.
I don't know.
It would draw them in. And it's not really an acceptable thing, but it's something that we are definitely going to have to remember to be more prayerful about, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so you ready to move into the learning portion of the show? You ready to go over the message?
Yep.
All right, here we go. It's time to learn. It's time for the message. As I said in the beginning of the show, tonight we're going to talk about better choices in our better series. And as to preface what I said earlier, every choice we make has life consequences. We must use wisdom that is given to us by God to choose wisely. That all begins with the fear of God, and this fear is a reverence and respect for a holy God. But that fear can mature into a deep and abiding trust. And ultimately, it is our trust in God that helps us make better choices. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, we began a brand new sermon series called Better. And that sounds good, doesn't it? We all have aspects of our lives that we would like to see improve and become better. And I hope that this new year has already been good to you. And I'm convinced that living life with Jesus is the best way to live. And when we submit to Him, our lives are better in every single way. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the impact that God can have in our lives when we begin the new year with better priorities. When we put God first, the rest of our lives falls into order. If we get this backwards, the most important things in our lives will suffer. And last week, we discovered that the people we surround ourselves with will have far-reaching effects. And sometimes it's important for us to focus on having better relationships to experience the life that God has for us. So tonight we continue our series and dive into a need for better choices. Now, before you go poking the person around you or thinking in your mind about the people that need to hear this message, I want you to recognize that we all struggle from time to time making wise choices and doing the right things. This conversation is incredibly important, though, because when we make bad choices, we open ourselves up to toxic things that can harm us from the inside out. So, I once saw a comedian I love named Jim Gaffigan. You know who that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have you heard the bit about the Hot Pockets?
No.
Okay, so he tells a funny story about Hot Pockets. Look. Look it up. It's pretty funny. It's a funny story about Hot Pockets. So, you know, the frozen treat that either comes out of the microwave like lava, or it enters your mouth like a frozen piece of ice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I used to love Hot Pockets, and that was until I watched Gaffigan's stand-up on this. And he makes some really good points. There is nothing about the Hot Pocket that can possibly be healthy for us, but it is tasty. So we consume it without a second thought. But have you ever questioned what is in one exactly? Probably better not. Now this message is not somehow to beat upon the Hot Pocket company as much as it is to shine light on how often we make choices to consume things in our lives without realizing the consequences. So that may come from the choice, you know, maybe this year we need to begin to make better choices, starting with Hot Pockets, right? So I'm afraid that without proper wisdom, all of us run the risk of allowing toxic things into our hearts and minds. And when I say toxic, what I mean is any choice that leads us to poisonous outcomes that can lead to our harm, sickness, or death. Much like the things we consume daily, I suggest that some of these choices we make are poisoning our lives. So the first part is here, better choices begin with a fear of God. And as a desire to make better decisions in our lives, more than likely stems from a series of bad ones in the past. We must make some intentional changes for there to be different outcomes. Just as a filter is used when backpacking in the wilderness for water to be cleansed and safe for drinking, to reduce poor choices, we must have some sort of filter to protect ourselves from toxic decisions as well. The book of Proverbs offers us the best way to live with wisdom in its very first chapter. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise with wisdom and instruction, from Proverbs 1:7. So the author tells us that the beginning of wisdom is having a fear of God. The idea of fearing God seems to go against the biblical teaching that we are loved by God. Why would we fear him if he loves us? And how does that help us in making better choices? The word for fear can best be understood as reverence or respect. When we begin with a deep reverence and a respect for God because of his position before us as all-powerful creator and our position before him as fallible humans, we begin to live with wisdom in our everyday choices. The evangelist Ray Comfort said it like this: when men don't fear God, they give themselves to evil. When we are given a list of toxic choices that seems like a good choice at the moment, we sometimes need to have some kind of reason to flee. That reason is a fear, reverence, and respect of Almighty God. It might be helpful to think about it, what it was like when you were a child in the kitchen and your parents were cooking. Whether you got too close to the stove or, you know, there would have been a loud warning or even a hand slap. And this was to instill fear, not because your parents were upset with you or because you were in danger from them, but because you were in danger from being burned without intervention, right? The same is true when living with the fear of God, knowing that God is looking out for our best interest. We don't want to make decisions that might upset him or break his heart. We don't want to make decisions that would lead to negative outcomes that might harm us or others. We receive his discipline in our lives and learn to move from fear and trust, from fear to trust, because we know he loves us. But it all begins with the fear of God. Which leads me to my second point, which is even a trace of toxin can be harmful. So sometimes our minds and hearts can try to fool us into believing that just a little bit of bad choices won't make that much of a difference. We can dip our toe, you know, like a taste, and it won't affect us negatively. The problem is that even a trace of toxins can be incredibly harmful for us from the inside out. The book of James speaks to this fact in chapter 2, The author is addressing the listener's interest in only focusing on certain parts of the law while disregarding other parts, as if they were applying different levels of severity to each sin, making some a big problem and some not a big deal. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it, from James 2:10. You see, when we make a choice to break the law of God, even in a way that may seem small and insignificant to us, we are guilty of breaking all the laws of God. Bad choices in any area will bring the same consequences as bad choices in every area. They're all separate, you know, and they all separate us from God. To have better choices in this new year, we must commit to living with wisdom in every area of our lives. The problem is we too often convince ourselves that we can dabble in sin and make it out unscathed. The truth is that sin always takes us further than we want to go, makes us stay longer than we would like to, and costs us more than we want to pay. We must commit to better choices in small and the big things of life. So a man named Dr. Ralph Sockman once wrote about an experience he had while standing on the edge of Niagara Falls one clear and cold March day. He was wrapped in, you know, his winter garments, and like the giant falls glistened in the bright sun, and as some of the birds swooped down to snatch a drink of water, you know, Sockman's friend told him how he had seen birds carried over the edge of the precipice. As they dipped down for a drink, tiny droplets of ice would form on their wings. And as they returned for additional drinks, more ice would weigh down their bodies until they couldn't rise above the cascading waters. Flapping their wings, the birds would suddenly drop over the falls. So this should be a warning to us. A little choice to visit that website may not seem like a big deal. A little choice to report a little falsely on your taxes may not seem like a big deal. A little choice to gossip just a little about that person may not seem like a big deal. All these little choices can easily become frozen weights that keep us from the better life that God wants for us. We cannot make excuses for a little toxin. We cannot justify a little sin. Sin's goal is to always steal, kill, and destroy, and it's not something to mess with. So when it comes to making better choices in our lives, there's often, you know, some gray area that can be difficult to navigate. We don't all agree on what should be avoided and what should be permitted. I believe there's a simple question we can ask ourselves next time we're posed with a choice. And just because I could, does that mean that I should? Which is our third point. Just because I can, does that mean I should? And as humans, we have given each of us an incredible gift that can be a double-edged sword. That gift is a free choice. We have been given a portion of authority to make decisions for our lives that affect us and others. We can choose what we will wear each day. We can choose the movies we'll watch. We can choose how we speak to people. We have a choice in the matter. You know, several years ago, Mary Beth and I went on a vacation to Charleston. We had a wonderful time. We played on the beach and we stayed at a great resort. And one night we went to dinner. And I had the most amazing seafood dinner. It was rich and filling. She knows exactly where I'm talking about, don't you?
Hyman's.
And I loved it. And then we went to walk downtown, which is another favorite thing I love to do. And while we were walking, we came upon a dessert place. We looked at each other, and I knew right off the bat I could not go in there. I was already about to explode, but it smelled so good, I knew that I could eat something sweet to fill me up, but the question was, should I? And let me tell you, I'm glad I didn't. I would have been so sick, and probably Mary Beth too. But the point is here, we must realize that to make better choices in our lives, we must admit that because we can do something, doesn't mean we should do something. And Paul writes about this in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. From 1 Corinthians 6:12. So Paul is specifically addressing some of the poor decisions that the early church was making in terms of their sexuality here. They were trying to make a case as to why it did not really matter what they did with their bodies, because they would get a new one at the resurrection anyway. But Paul says that it's faulty logic. Just because our bodies can engage in sexual acts does not mean that we should. Paul makes the case that though we may feel like we're the most free when we can do whatever we want, that we are mastered by sin when we make unwise choices without the fear of God. Our choices matter. And just for good measure, I'll say it again. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So, someone could choose to drive 90 miles an hour. Someone could choose to spend their time on Facebook and reconnect and rekindle a flame with an old girlfriend or boyfriend. Someone could choose to abuse drugs and alcohol. You could choose to eat a Hot Pocket. We have that choice, right? What choices have you made last year that, given a second chance, you would change? What choices do you know that lie ahead of you this year and you need God's wisdom to navigate them? Through prayer, we can position ourselves to make better choices just by asking God to guide us and direct us and truly be open to obey Him and follow His lead. In addition to God, we have each other. So hopefully you have better relationships in your life as a result of last week's message, and lean into those relationships as you plan ahead. Talk through priorities together, goals, dreams, and desires. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. So there's no better time than the beginning of the year to start making better decisions. What you think of that one?
Pretty good.
Anything stand out to you about that one?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody can look back on their life and see bad choices that they make and wish that they had done something different. The thing is you can't fix what already has been done.
Nope.
You can only fix what happens to you going forward. And there, you know, you shouldn't beat yourself up about things that you can't change now.
And that's true, because a lot of times when we're so busy looking behind us at everything that happened, we're tripping over everything that's in front of us, and we don't really see what's good in front of us, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, prayerful thought and insight and looking forward and trying to move on and make amends and move forward rather than looking back is usually the best course of action, right? And, you know, maybe there's somebody out there listening tonight, you know, that is trying to figure this whole God thing out. You know, that's the way so many people put it, and that's the way I've heard. And, you know, a lot of people just hit a stumbling block. They don't know how to go about it. They don't know that the only thing they have to do is be willing to turn from their sin and repent. They don't realize that they need to understand that, you know, Jesus, believing that Jesus died for them, He was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for their sins. And just saying a simple prayer to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior is the way to it. You don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't have to have a preacher do it for you. You don't have to have anybody special around. It's about you and your relationship and your conversation with God. You can say a simple prayer like this: Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, now's the time to start digging in. What's some of the most important things you can do?
Get a Bible.
That's right. Get yourself a Bible. A lot of stuff I referenced tonight came from the NIV version, which is a good version of the Bible. A lot of people like it. Instead of the King James Version, the these and thous are kind of taken out and is put into a more common context in today's language. It helps people understand a lot better, though I love my King James Version as well. But getting yourself a good Bible and start digging in and learning is one of the things. What's something else they can do?
Join a Bible-based church.
That's right. Get yourself involved in a good Bible-based church that teaches on the Word. Also, small groups, right?
Yep.
Get yourself involved in a small group. There's definitely where, you know, the Bible says, where two or more people will gather in my name, there I shall also be. Hey, God is in this right now. God is in those meetings. God is in those churches. You know, all you got to do is call upon his name. That's all you got to do. Start learning how to pray. Pray for everything that's not going on, only in this country, but all over the world. Remember, you know, there are Christians being persecuted all over the world today. There's things going on in this country that aren't right. There's things going on in other countries that aren't right. Pray for the government. Pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark spaces to help people start to come to know him better and to help make better decisions for everybody. I mean, that's what it's all about. Just talking to God. I do it in the mornings. I do it several times throughout the day. Something will come into my head and I'll be like, oh, I need to talk to God about this. And I'll just sit there and have my own prayer right there in my head, you know, asking for answers, right?
I usually do it in the morning or in the afternoon when I'm driving to or from work because...
Yeah, and prayer doesn't always mean closing your eyes.
No.
Let me just preference that.
No, please don't do that. But that's usually when I'm probably at my most frustrated, is either before I go to work or when I'm leaving work.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all about, you know, pick a special time of day for you. And make it a habit of talking to God at that time. But, you know, God's not 911. You know, don't just lean on him in the emergencies. Also, remember to give him praise for everything good that's going on in your life.
You woke up today.
Lord, I woke up today. Lord, the sun's shining. Lord, I got paid this week.
It's not 18 degrees outside.
Yeah, Lord, it's 48 degrees instead of 18. Praise the Lord. We're not freezing to death. You know, anything, praise God in everything you do. You got any last thoughts over there tonight?
I do not.
We really appreciate everybody joining us every week, and we love seeing where the show's reaching out to, you know, literally all over the world. I mean, we've had listeners download podcasts from South America, South Africa,
any place that's south, apparently.
Everywhere. I mean, Germany, United Kingdom, Austria, Germany, Belgium, I mean, kind of all over the place where we've seen downloads come in. It's just amazing. And I, you know, said when we started this show 3 years ago that, you know, if one person got saved from this show, that was a win. Wasn't a big ask at all. It's just about using talents and sharing the Word of God and helping people to understand politics better through a biblical view and the way things are in the world. That's what it's about, right?
Because those are the two topics that can either get you into trouble or find you people who are light thinkers.
Yep. So, hey, don't be afraid. Get out there, start spreading the word, start learning about the word, start praying. Wow. So, we really appreciate everybody joining us tonight. I hope you'll join us again next Sunday night, usually at 7 o'clock. We're just a little bit early tonight. But, hey, it's good. We got the word out there. If you want to send us an email, christianpolititalk@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. leave you with a commercial here at the end, and we'll see everybody next week. Everybody have a great rest of your week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLk, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.